We now begin the third and final chapter of Maseches Makos, and this really is the chapter which gives the Masechta its name. It's about the administration of Makos, of lashes by the Beis Din. Now, as of course you know, there are 613 commandments, 365 are lavin, prohibitions, and 248 are asein, are positive commandments, requirements, what to do. Now, the pasuk which obligates makos, the administration of lashes, is in Devarim, and we actually read it back in the beginning of the Masechta in the context of a drasha for Edom Zomen. But the pasuk says, "V'haya im bin hakos harasha." It will be if the person who is the rasha, who did the crime, is a bin hakos, someone who is deserving of lashes. So then, v'pilo hashofet, Vihikahu lefanav kadei rishaso b'mispar. So then he will be lashed by the person doing the administration of it, according by number, according to his wickedness. Arbaim yakenu lo yosif. He's hit 40 times, not added to that. Pen yosif lahakoso al eila makaraba, lest you hit him in excess of that, and then the excess of lashes. V'nikla achicha leinecha. Your brother becomes sort of like deprecated in your eyes. Now, I'm not going to discuss the details about how 40 is really 39 and all the things that we see in the pasuk here. The only point here is that the pasuk says that there im bin hakos harasha, that some people who are rishaim are liable to lashes and others are not. And the Gemara sees from the very next pasuk, which talks about lochsachsom shor bedisho, the prohibition of muzzling one's ox when he's threshing, that there's their dorsh smuchen, there is what to be seen from the juxtaposition of that prohibition, almost like a non sequitur, next to this discussion of makos. So the short of it is right now that only violations of the Torah which sort of resemble the prohibition of muzzling one's ox when it's threshing are the ones that are subject to lashes. For starters, that means only the mitzvahs lo saseh, the lavin, like lo sachsum, like the prohibition against muzzling. Those are the only ones that are even eligible for makos, meaning all the mitzvahs aseh, if one fails to do them, one doesn't shake his lulav or put on his tefillin and the like, he will not be subject to lashes. Now, even of the 365 lavin, not all of them by any means are subject to makos. First of all, we have 36 we saw previously in Sanhedrin, that our penalty is misa, execution, and not lashes. And we have like sort of like a kibun derabmina, you wouldn't give lashes once you're giving execution. But there are others that are exempt as well. Two very notable categories are a lav she'en bo ma'ase, a prohibition that doesn't actually involve doing something, but rather one just is in violation by sitting and doing nothing. Like, for example, the Torah says not to leave over the meat of a korban till the morning. If a person just violates that by not doing anything, he has done a lav she'en bo ma'ase, and there will not be lashes. There's also another category called a lav that's nitak la'aseh, a prohibition which is remedied by some other positive commandment. And when that happens, again, there'll be no malchus. Instead, one has to just do the positive commandment. So, for example, there's a prohibition, lo sigzol, you can't rob. But the Torah mandates that one who does rob has to be veshiv as a gazela asher gazal, he has to return the stolen object. So the point is that since there's a remedy prescribed by the Torah, it's a remedy that has to be observed and not the lashes. And there are potentially other things as well. So our Masechta is going to essentially deal with these topics. Really, assuming our perek is deal with the topics, it's a very long perek. It's a number of words, it's very, very long. Maybe it's the longest parak in all of Shas, I don't know, but it's 16 Mishnayos, which makes it almost the longest in terms of Mishnayos themselves, but the Mishnayos are long. Now, basically, there are four sections, if you will. The first section, which is basically, you know, the first four Mishnayos, the Mishnah Vav, talks about different actual a list of prohibitions for which the penalty is Malchus. It's not a comprehensive list. It basically, very loosely speaking, is a list of items that are prohibitions, lavin, that for some reason or other you might have thought shouldn't be included for Malchus for whatever reason, and so the Chiddush is they are included for Malchus. We'll discuss that also shortly, Bez Hashem. Then basically, Mishnah Hey and Zayin Ches Tes, those four, talk about how many sets of malchus? Does it get one set of 39 or more than that? We'll discuss that. And then the next five Mishnayos from Yud, Mishnah 10 to 14, Yud Dalet, talk about the administration themselves of the malchus, how many and how it does. And then the last two Mishnayos of the Perek and the Masechta, 15 and 16, talk about basically their give chizuk to people to stand up to Nisayon, to challenges, and not give them credit for not violating the Torah in different ways. Okay, so we can begin the Perek in earnest here, which says, Ve'elu hein halokin. The following people, meaning people who are violating various mitzvahs, are the ones who are subject to lashes. And again, this is not a comprehensive list, but a list of prohibitions that really one might have thought, for whatever reason, should not be included on the list of those who are subject to malchus. And the first topic here are prohibitions from the Torah which carry the penalty of kares. Kares being something like divine excision, or premature death, or dying without children. So the one might have thought that just as you have this kind of kimlein bederab mine, this rule that if you have a more severe penalty, you don't do the lesser penalty. So the same way that if we execute someone, we're not going to give them malchus first. So you might have thought, and there's shitas like this in the Tanaim, that if you're subject to kares, you won't be subject to lashes as well. However, this is going according to Rabbi Akiva shita, and this is the halacha, that's incorrect. Crimes that potentially carry kares with them, if one does them bemazed intentionally with the edim and hasra, two witnesses, the warning and the like, so then the penalty indeed is malchus. So the first items on the list are seven prohibitions that have to do essentially with forbidden relationships, where one is not carrying a death penalty, but rather kares and therefore malchus. So here they are. First of all, it's haba al achoso, one who sleeps with his sister. Okay, again, that's an iser kares, but not the penalty is not execution, but rather lashes if it's done b'mezid. Val achos aviv, one's father's sister, meaning his aunt on his father's side. And val achos imo, one's aunt on his mother's side, meaning his mother's sister. Val achos ishto, one's wife's sister. Now, this is a prohibition which only applies during the life of one's wife. And the truth is, even if it's one's ex-wife. So meaning if a person marries a woman, Leah, so then as long as Leah is alive, he can't marry Leah's sister, Rachel. Even if he divorces Leah, he can't marry Rachel. But once Leah dies, so then he could marry Rachel, Leah's the late Leah's sister. If he sleeps there while Leah's alive, though, the penalty is malchus. Val eshes achiv, one's brother's wife. Here we're not talking about a married woman. A married woman, if she's married to one's brother or anybody else for that matter, carries a penalty of misa, of the tereg, of beheading, and we discussed that back in Sanhedrin. But here we're talking about a woman who had been one's brother's wife, and now they're no longer married. Either the brother died and left her as a widow, or the brother divorced her. So in either of those two scenarios, the wife, the ex-wife of one's brother, if you will, remains forbidden to him. Of course, we're excluding the scenario of yibum. That's something separate. But assuming there's no yibum involved, so then there's an iser, a lav, for a person to sleep with his brother's ex-wife, carries a penalty of malchus. Val eshes achi aviv. Also, we're talking about the wife of one's father's brother. So in other words, again, it's his aunt. It's his father's brother, meaning his uncle's wife. So while she's married, she's again iser misa, but if they're divorced, she still remains forbidden to him forever under this prohibition. All these six are listed explicitly in Acharei Mos as iser kares. In addition, we also have Val Hanida. Now, the Nida is not an incestuous relationship, which is any woman who's a Nida, even one's own wife. If she's got blood, you know, she's bleeding from the uterus, you know what Nida is. So then she's an iser kares, and the penalty of one does that b'mezid is malchus. So those are the seven of the Mishnah so far. So now the Mishnah transitions. Since we're listing forbidden relationships that carry kares, we're going to listen to other forbidden relationships that are not actually kares penalties, but they still are forbidden under penalty of lashes, of malchus. And we have alman l'kohen gadol. We have a kohen gadol who may not marry, not only like a regular kohen can't marry a divorcee, but he also cannot marry even a widow. So the kohen gadol, who sleeps with a widow, is subject to malchus, and a grusha v'chalutz l'kohen hediot. A regular kohen, meaning a kohen gadol, even a non-kohen gadol, that's the hediot, may not may not have relations with a divorcee under penalty of malchus. The chalutza is a little misleading here. The chalutza is an iser derabbanan. But grusha and chalutza kind of always come together as a pair because a chalutza is so similar to a grusha. Again, I'll remind you, grusha is simply a divorcee. She got a get from her husband. The chalutza is a woman who was widowed by her husband who didn't have any other children. And then she's supposed to now, she has a zika. She's like kind of connected to her brother-in-law. If the brother-in-law marries her, great, that's called Yibum. If the brother-in-law doesn't want to marry her, he does this chalitza process where he essentially severs the connection. His shoe gets taken off. She spits on the floor in front of him and says, this is what happens. So that's so similar to a divorce, as if like the surviving brother's sort of like kind of like divorcing his sister-in-law. So the rabbis treat it as like a divorce in all matters. But the truth is that the Cohen who has relations with a chalutza actually is subject to rabbinic lashes, not the deraisa lashes that the rest of the Mishnah is talking about. In addition, you have mamzeres unasina liyisrael. If you have a woman who's a mamzeres, that means that she is the offspring, the child, of a relationship which was forbidden under penalty of karas. Like, for example, the ones you set up to now, but also the ones that are chayav misa as well, like a person is a mother and the like, or an ashes ish, a married woman who has a child out of with another man. So that child is a mamzer if it's a boy, and a mamzeres if it's a girl. A notable exception, by the way, just parenthetically, is the nida is different. A person has a child with a nida, the child is not a mamzer. In any case, the Torah explicitly says that a mamzer may not enter into the Kahal Hashem, can't marry into a regular Jewish population. It doesn't say explicitly mamzeres, a female child like that, and therefore the Mishnah here is making that little chiddush, saying that it's added to the list. And the nesina is something else altogether. The nesina is a woman who's a descendant of the Givonim. If you remember back to Sefer Yoshua, there was this group that were actually a Canaanite nation. They pretended to have come from far away. They inked a treaty, if you will, with Yehoshua, and they converted to being Jews. So those people were called Nesinim for a reason that's not relevant right now, later on. Now, the way Rashi learns, Tosfos, Partanura, is since really the Nesinim are a Canaanite nation, even though they converted to being Jewish, still there's a prohibition against marrying the Canaanites. So even though it's a convert, they came from Canaanites. The pasuk says, "Velo sischaten bam." You can't marry in with them. So if one does marry in with them, so then that's a lav. They get malchus, so they can never marry in. That's how they learn. The Rambam, for the record, learns a little differently. The Rambam learns that it's only Isser Durabanan to marry a Nasin, and for different reasons that came out later on, the time of David HaMelech. The point is, once a person converts, anybody can marry them, essentially, and they're like they can marry into the Jewish community like any other convert, and even though they originated from one of the seven Canaanite nations. So we're talking here a Durabanan, and kind of the Nasin comes part and parcel with the Mamzer or Mamzeres, the same way kind of that the Chalutza comes with the Grusha. Okay. And similarly, a Bas Yisrael, a regular Jewish girl, l'nasin, if she marries a nasin, that's the male version of this of the nasina, or l'mamzer, or if she marries a mamzer, again, those are prohibited, and under penalty of karas to both of them. Now, all that said, the Mishnah makes one final point, which is, if a woman is an almana ugrusha, a woman is both a widow and a divorcee, right, so she was married twice. The first time her husband died, the second time the husband divorced her. So she has like two different categories of Isser on her with respect to a Kohen Gadol. If a Kohen Gadol then now does have relations with her, Hayavin Aleh Mishum Shnei Shemos. So the Kohen Gadol now is on the hook for two separate categories of violation, the prohibition against having relations with an Amana and a separate against having one with a Grusha, and therefore he'll get two sets of Malchus. He'll get lashed twice. This is the biggest chiddush of all, because the pasuk which says Almana Ugrusha, they mention these two categories of women, so it goes on to say, Es Eila Lo Yikach, he may not marry them, these. So the point is, even though the word these, Eila, refers to both of these categories of women, since they're two separate categories, widow, divorcee, it's considered two separate violations, therefore we get two sets of Malchus. In contrast, the Grusha V'Chalutza, if you had a woman who was both a divorcee and a chalutza, meaning, again, she was married twice and both things happened to her, so, and a regular Kohen has relations with her, Eino chayev ela mishem echad bilvad. He'll just be on the hook for one set of lashes because they really kind of the Isra of the Chalutza, besides the fact that it's a Durabanan, is emanating from the Isra of Grusha. So it's only one category of Isra altogether. And more than that, of course, the Chalutza is only Chayim and Durabanan, but that actually makes a separate Chiddush, which is, you might have thought that he should get two sets of lashes, one the Doraisa for the Grusha, one the Durabanan for the Chalutza. But no, once you're giving already Doraisa lashes, we're not going to give Durabanan lashes for the same act again.